Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Edwards refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for January the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show makes sense. Let's do it all right now. Ashley Babbitt, ladies and gentlemen, tried to stop attack on Capitol Speaker's lobby. You heard me right. The lady that got murdered by your government, a veteran for 14 years, literally tried to stop the attack on the Speaker's Capitol lobby at the Capitol. Video shows female Trump supporters, including Ashley Babbitt, desperate pleas to prevent rioters from breaking windows. Stop. No, don't. Wait. Please. Stop. TheEpicTimes.com is where the article resides. The U.S. Department of Justice literally cleared Mr. Byrd, that's the guy that murdered Ashley Babbitt, of criminal culpability in the shooting death without ever even questioning him. And without even taking a statement from him, ladies and gentlemen, that explains his actions that fateful day. That's according to investigative records and according to the Babbitt family attorney. What a shame that is, ladies and gentlemen. There's literally video evidence showing her trying to stop the criminal activity. The reason she tried to go through the window is she was trapped by rioters. Yeah, and the government just literally killed her. They claim that it was an insurrection that day, but you see government provocateurs everywhere on video. They're not even in trouble. But yet, political prisoners rot in jail, including Stuart Rhodes and others. What a shame that is, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about Stuart Rhodes coming up in minutes as the broadcast unfolds. The Salt Lake City Tribune, horrible newspaper, ladies and gentlemen. They have an editorial board. And they literally published an editorial piece on Saturday that literally called on the Utah governor to use the National Guard to prevent unvaccinated citizens from going anywhere. Have these guys lost their minds? The answer is clearly yes. They're off their rockers crazy. Shame on them. There's also a new attack on MyPillow CEO, Mike Lindell. It's particularly vile. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Lindell, they say they're bank dumping my businesses, my charities, financial institutions, says that activist entrepreneur Mike Lindell poses a, quote, reputation risk. WorldNet Daily with the piece, so they're dumping Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell says one of the nation's largest banks is moving to dump the 9 businesses and charities that he has founded in the wake of the success of MyPillow. Wow, folks. Yeah, when they shut Donald Trump down from social media and they shut Mike Lindell down, they're literally attacking our money, ladies and gentlemen. They are declaring war on we the people. We're going to talk about that as the broadcast unfolds, too. Facebook just blocked me for 90 days for speaking the truth, says Ron Paul. Hour 2 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Our First Amendment is on the ropes. What are we to do is the question. I discussed that with the good Sheriff Richard Mack. It was Brady on TV, the Sheriff Mack Show, simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live. So you've got Brady on TV with the Sheriff Mack Show. You've got Brady on radio, Liberty News Radio, LovingLiberty.net Radio, all teaming up to spread the word. Sheriff Richard Mack tells the discouraging tale about his interactions with members of both the House and the Senate, ladies and gentlemen, regarding prison reform. They talked about prison reform back in the day, but they weren't serious at all. We proved it. the bogus press, ladies and gentlemen, literally tried to get Richard Mack to speak out against Stuart Rhodes. Sheriff Richard Mack rejected them and their dishonest attempts. Stuart Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear about this, is innocent until proven guilty. Our archives of the simulcast of the Sheriff Mack Show and Liberty Roundtable Live, the video is available at brighteon.tv. I should say it's brighteon.com, I guess, for the archives. Brighteon.com and available on audio at libertyroundtable.com or lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale. That's a recap of yesterday's show. Wow, there's so much to talk about, so little time. Let's get to it. James Edwards, well-known talk show host, author, and more with us. Race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. His award-winning show every Saturday evening on your radio. And it's live every Saturday evening, but it's on demand 24-7 at ThePoliticalCesspool.org. James, welcome back, sir.
Sam, I've got that cool, clean, crisp, and clear January air in my lungs. I'm feeling good. Brand new year of working with you. I'm on Liberty Roundtable this morning. Couldn't be going better. And that was one heck of a recap. So much to talk about. As you said, any one of those topics we could really sink our teeth into. Where are we going?
We're going to get it done. But first off, my friend, I'm up in the Rocky Mountains. You don't know what crisp, cool, clean air is.
That's probably true. Relatively speaking, yes.
I'm just teasing. It's actually strange weather in the South, though, recently, isn't it?
Well, we've had, on Christmas, it was about 80 degrees, and then winter finally came, and, it's been getting a little cold. I mean, a little cold for us anyway. I think the cold front's coming through tonight, and it's going to get back down into the 30s, which I love. I think, for the people, our ancestral memory is stirred, those of us whose ancestors came over here to found this country, come from the windswept isles of Northern Europe and Great Britain and Scotland and those places. So I think somewhere in our history we're used to cold weather. So every time it sets in, I kind of get excited. So I don't now what I'm not used to, even after being born and raised in the South, is those subtropical summers. So I like winter. I'm a winter guy, having a good time. But I haven't had a Rocky Mountain winter. So good point.
I'm all about the winter, spring, and fall. The summer's too hot for me.
Well, you've got a show for all seasons, though, Sam.
That is right, sir. All right, I want to talk about several different things. I want to talk about Stuart Rhodes. He's innocent until proven guilty, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me set the stage for the discussion, then I want James to rock and roll. Number one, the only information we have about Stuart Rhodes is what we get from two sources, your government, so FBI, CIA, Justice Department, etc. And then the only other source, if you call it a separate source, would be the media, which is really controlled and ran by and owned by the FBI, the CIA, the same government wonks that told you the information in the first place. So whether it's Psaki and your attorney general, whacked out Merrick Garland, or your president, whacked out Joe, or whoever, okay, you're getting the information from that source or government media sources. Really, it's all the same thing, James. And the truth is, I don't think that we can fairly even say, oh, my gosh, the information about Stuart Rhodes is damning, this and that and that and the other. All we hear is government propaganda. Yeah, they supposedly broke into the Signal app and breached the encrypted communications, and therefore Rhodes said this and did this and did that and did it. I watch videos, sir, of all the provocateurs that literally took place on January the 6th. Stuart's not among them. Oh, well, Sam, he's the engineer behind the scenes. Okay, you know what? Why don't we hear from Stuart himself? Why don't we hear from other sources? There's 14,000 hours of video they simply will not even release at this point. All the good guys seem to be in jail. The people who were there politically who meant well and who wanted to protect and who truly wanted a genuine audit into election fraud. We never got the audit into election fraud, but we had a certain provocateur event that day. And what gives with this? So a lot of people are starting to throw Stuart Rhodes under the bus. I will not be among them. I'm not going to just take the media and your government propaganda and turn that into, oh, man, I believe Stuart, who says, look, I was trying to defend the president that day. I was trying to defend our republic that day. They're wrong on this. What do you say, James?
Well, I had saw this last week. I don't know if it was the New York Times or the Washington Post. but I repeat myself. They all speak with a single voice, of course, and they're all mouthpieces for the system. And when I say system, I'm talking about the courts, the government, academia, the media, of course, all working as a single unit, which they do. And I had seen this headline about Stuart Rhodes, and I immediately sent it to you because I know that that's someone who you're well acquainted with and, you know, guest on this program in the past, and I have worked with him in some capacities. Now, I should say, for full disclosure, that I have my own concerns with Rhodes that have nothing to do with this. But as far as this goes, and so by saying that, I said that to let people know that there are some things. Well, I'll just go ahead and say it so there's no confusion and I'm not trying to be secretive or mysterious or whatever. I with Rhodes, I think there was a demonstration in defense of a Confederate monument in New Orleans a couple of years ago. And the Oath Keepers were down there ostensibly to defend the monuments, which was certainly a good and noble cause. But then when members of a Southern Heritage organization arrived, well, the media had called them racists, of course. And so all of a sudden, Rhodes and the Oath Keepers who were with him at that time went and joined the Black Lives Matter people who were there to desecrate the monument and were counter-signaling and virtue-signaling against against the Southern people, who I knew, by the way, who I personally knew. Now, I say all that to say this. When I come in to defend...
Stay there. Candid conversation straight ahead, ladies and gentlemen. We don't hold anything back on this radio program. We tell the truth. We let people say what they want to as long as they obey FCC rules. We believe in the First Amendment, baby. We'll tell you about it in seconds. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Your call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy, she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
James Edwards with me, ladies and gentlemen, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're talking about Stuart Rhodes. And I've got the headline that I wrote, ladies and gentlemen, say, please, people, do not forget that Stuart Rhodes is innocent until proven guilty. No matter what you think, resist the urge to barbecue him in the court of public opinion, ladies and gentlemen. The only information we have is through government and your government-controlled media. We don't really have any other reality checks, ladies and gentlemen, at this point. So beware, be cautious, and understand the principles that underpin liberty. James?
Yeah, the way the break came in just a couple of moments ago left a bad taste in my mouth. I'm not trying to cast aspersions on Stuart Rhodes. I think overall the organization that he represents is something that has done good work and has a good cause. I'm just saying in this one instance, I had some cause for concern there, totally unrelated to what we're talking about. But the reason I brought it up was just to let you know.
Explain, though, in detail, though. Finish your statements on the concern, though.
Well, that was all there was, really. They had gone down there to join with supporters, and we had covered this on the radio. This was a couple of years ago, of course. Joined with the supporters of the Confederate Monument. But then when they found out that some of the supporters of the Confederate Monument had been called racist in the media, they immediately turned and went to the other line and were standing with Black Lives Matter supporters. They're counter-signaling against the so-called racists. So, you know, of course... that was peculiar to me, you know, when you have this tough guy organization that's going to stand up and defend liberty at all costs and all this, but, you know, all you got to do is say the R word. I wrote a book about this that is well known, you know, 11 years ago. So I was just thinking, hey, you know, what's going on here with this guy? But in any event, the reason I brought it up was just to let people know who are out there. We can be objective. We can be discerning here on this program, and we don't defend people just because we know them or have worked with them or have heard of them or something like that. In this case with Stuart Rhodes, I mean, yes, I'm sure it is just like we saw to a much lesser extent with regards to the severity with the Charlottesville civil suit late last year, where you have people... prosecuting attorneys obtaining communications through email and perhaps text messages and things like that that are, you know, irreverent and maybe can be taken out of context and say, oh, here's the smoking gun. Now, they could have been joking about saying, hey, you know, let's bonk some heads. You know, oh, that's criminal conspiracy. You see, they went there to cause racially charged violence, or in the case of January 6th, they went there to foment an insurrection. Our democracy is in peril. We are defending the life of our democracy, as if the left could have ever concerned itself with anything like that. But so there are some similarities, I think, with what we saw in Charlottesville late last year in November with their trial and what they're trying to do here and now. And, of course, you know, it took them a long time. I think the timing is very interesting. I mean, you're now, you know, certainly over a year after the fact, and now and only now are these charges being brought up. I think that's, particularly slow movement of the so-called wheels of justice. And with regards, you said one more thing, and I want to keep the spotlight on Rhodes, but I've got something, if you could give me, if not in this segment, maybe the next, I got a pretty good little timely riff that I could do on January 6th that I think will tie in what we're talking about with Rhodes and Lindell and everybody else that's caught up in this dragnet. But with Lindell, the banks are really doing a lot of that now. Reputational risk, that's all they've got to say, and then they can just close
that's
your
right.
account. I mean,
so we'll get into that. We'll let you dig into it next segment, James. We'll let you do your... briefing on that, but I want to say this about
sure.
Stuart Rhodes, though. So the debate is Stuart Rhodes, he's a Fed, some say. Others say, no, he's not a Fed at all. Da, da, da. Oh, this proves he's a Fed. That proves he's not. This, that, that. They go on and on and on. You know what? It's all speculation. It's all bogus. The fact is you need to remember a couple of things. One, all of our information comes from the government and the media. Number two, you got to remember that the man is innocent until proven guilty. But number three, and I want to take this head on, James. The question is, was Stuart Rhodes ready for a civil war? Was he calling for a civil war? Was he calling to take down thug leaders who are out of control and who are criminal? And you know what? Here's the question that you really got to ask yourself. What if he was agitating for a war? What if his words and his statements does say, I believe a war is coming? I believe they've already declared war on us. I believe that we must fight back and we must do it now or else it'll get worse. What about a statement like that, founding father-esque, that says, look, we have drawn a line in the sand, and they've crossed it, it's too far, and now we must take action. All efforts for peaceful resolution are over. Now, let me give you some examples to make the point. COVID, is it really produced in a lab, as Rand Paul has documented, in front of Anthony Fauci, who's lying about it and got caught lying in Congress, where gain-of-function research created this in a lab, and then it was intentionally released? If that's true, they have declared war on us. Stuart would be correct. Look at the election issue. If the election fraud has been going on and we try to go to the courts, no redress of grievance whatsoever, we try to go to the Congress and they literally created an act of insurrection and Stuart is on the wrong or right side of it, doesn't matter because the point is still the same that, you know what, they have shut us down at the courts. They've shut us down at the congressional level due to creating an insurrection so we don't get there. You know, Ammon Bundy asked this question. as he literally rotted 2 years in prison, came out, was guilty of nothing. Let me say that again. Ammon Bundy went to jail for 2 years for nothing, guilty of nothing. And the judge said the FBI withheld exculpatory evidence, and the FBI was so criminal that they had to just flat out dismiss the case against Ammon Bundy. You had agent provocateurs in the Ammon Bundy case. I believe they dismissed the case so they didn't have to go into exposing their real tactics and who was really involved, etc. And Ammon was getting dang close to the truth, and they didn't want to even go further, so they jettisoned that. But from the IRS harassing our citizens to now the Justice Department and the FBI literally calling moms and dads who don't want sexual perversion in the government schools literal terrorists, Stuart Rhodes and others would say, look, they've gone too far. They've declared civil war on us. So was Stuart Rhodes ready for a civil war? And if he was, does that make the government the good guys and Rhodes the criminal? Or does that make Rhodes a patriot hero and the government exposed as criminals? And what's the outgrowth of this if they continue to violate our rights? Is it going to get softer and more peaceful and more kind and more gentle? Or is Stuart Rhodes almost prophetic in his reality check that, you know what, this is going to go wrong? At some point, you cannot have your government, the FBI, the Justice Department, and everything else calling mom and dad's terrorists. At some point, they've already declared war on us. And it's dog on dog, would say Stuart Rhodes. He's been on my program, and he's made that claim many a times. Let's not play games about secret communications and what we don't know. Let's just talk about what we know. But let's also talk about where we are in America today. Is Stuart Rhodes telling the truth? Have they declared war on us? And as I can tell, from climate change to parents being called terrorists to no redress of grievance on election fraud to the COVID disaster to the climate change disaster, which is just coming to destroy your life, to inflation, we can go on and on and on. Has Joe and the Democrats and then the partner Republicans in the swamp literally declared war on we the people already? And we're just too stupid to know it. And Stuart Rhodes is getting barbecued because he said it first. Where are we at in America, James?
Well, there's no doubt about it. There is a war that has been declared on traditional Americans and people who have traditional American values like Stuart Rhodes. And let me be clear, especially in light of what I said about Rhodes, my personal opinion, or at least an observation I had made about him in the past, we would be better off with people like Stuart Rhodes in command of our institutions. There's just no doubt about that. What his organization stands for is far superior to the system that we have in control right now. And yes, I mean, it's jumped up charges. I mean, God knows it is. Look at this hysterical coverage. I mean, we knew it was coming on the one-year anniversary. Well, they'd never stopped talking about it. So you could certainly have expected a continuation, but they really ratcheted it up at the beginning of this month. But nobody's listening. I said this on my radio program just last Saturday night, that the system media is writing these stories for one another. They are writing these stories to impress one another and to showcase their virtue to one another, their so-called virtue. A half of the country has completely tuned out the media, and I don't just mean that they have a difference of opinion. I mean that they will do or believe the exact opposite of what the media is saying by default. And so with regards to Stuart Rhodes, I mean, this is just another example of the war that is being waged, Sam, and it's not hyperbole to say that. I mean, yes, they haven't drawn a line in the sand, and they've got their troops on one side, and then there's troops on the other, and it's a hot war. But this has been something that this soft totalitarianism has been ever hardening for decades now. Decades, you know, like the frog in the boiling pot analogy. That's what's been going on. But I think, you know, it was a good time for Trump to lose. With the COVID and the inflation and everything, once the Democrats got control, they were so whipped up into this frenzy over the Trump years and what they really could have been so upset about Trump. It's unbeknownst to me, maybe his attitude, because he really didn't do a lot. But the babies pulled the pin on the grenade. And things are really changing now, and they're changing in a good way, particularly within the Republican base. People like the Oath Keepers, that mentality. I think they've gone too far. I think things are going to change and change for the better.
We'll talk about it. James Edward with us, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
AT&T and Verizon announced Tuesday they will delay this week's scheduled rollout of 5G cellular signals near some airports due to concerns from the aviation industry. The concern is the 5G spectrum is too close to the airline landing computer systems and could create delays or even worse. Pushing the narrative of nationalizing elections, Senate Majority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer told lawmakers Tuesday they're going after the 60-vote filibuster rule in order to get the legislation passed. The John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act and the Freedom of Vote Act are needed as Schumer accused state-level Republicans of trying to take away the vote from younger, black and brown, elderly, minority, and low-income voters. Democrat Senator Joe Manchin at a press conference says there are already laws on the books to prevent what Schumer is talking about.
The laws there, the rules are there, and basically the government. The government will stand behind them and make sure they have a right to vote.
USA Radio News.
Get to Kohl's to save on beauty, essentials, and home. Take 20% off all beauty and fragrance during our Love Your Look beauty event. Pick up Nike hoodies for the family starting at $19.99. Save 50% on Carter's for baby. And Sonoma Goods for Life bath towels are only $8.99. Plus, take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. And get Kohl's cash this weekend at Kohl's. Select styles. Offer valid September 20th through 23rd with promo code SAVINGS. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
I know you've been waiting a little bit longer than normal.
Jen's manicure spot needs an extra pair of hands.
Who's at the front desk right now?
Someone who's handy with everything from nail files to spreadsheet files.
Deirdre's not coming in today, but we have that whole bachelorette party.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. That was a simple deterrent that curbed most violent crime in America. Now with crime spiking in major cities throughout the United States, soft-on-crime DAs are being targeted for recall elections. One DA in Southern California might be the subject of a second recall.
Spiking crime in Los Angeles and criticism of District Attorney George Gascon calling for lenient charges and sentences for the offenders are fueling another effort to recall him. Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva telling Fox News he's confident in the latest recall effort.
The recall is now gaining steam. There's a petition that's already being approved by the Registrar Recorder. That's going to be out in circulation, so the organizers are going to definitely do probably a better job this time than they did the last time because they're more organized now and they're well-funded.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine a civil war in America again, but this time in every state. Yeah, you say Stuart Rhodes talked about that, and he was really pushing for war. Was he, or was he just ready for one? Was he pushing for one, or was he acknowledging the reality that we're closer to one than you might think, ladies and gentlemen? You don't believe me. You think Stuart Rhodes is the only one talking about this? National Public Radio, NPR, literally headquarters in Washington, asked this question. Imagine another American Civil War, but this time in every state. NPR, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think about that? Not long ago, the idea of another American Civil War seemed outlandish. These days, the notion has not only gone mainstream, ladies and gentlemen, but it seems to suddenly be everywhere. Believe it or not, Business Insider even published a poll in October saying the majority of Americans believe the U.S. was already in the midst of a, quote, cold civil war. Then last fall, the University of Virginia Center for Politics released a poll finding that said the majority of people who had voted to reelect former President Donald Trump now wanted their state to secede from the Union. The data also showed a stunning 41% of those who voted for Joe Biden in 2020 who said that now would be a good time to split the country. Researchers have found such, quote, downbeat assessments of America's democracy. Now, I know we don't have one, but that's what they say, right? We have a republic, folks, among the young. The Institute of Politics at Harvard's Kennedy School published a poll that found that half of voting Americans under the age of 30 thought that our democracy was in trouble or failing. One third also said they expected to be a civil war within their lifetimes, and a quarter of them thought at least one state would secede from the union. That's NPR, James.
Well, it is going to happen. It's inevitable it's going to happen. You're going to have a balkanizing here, as you have had throughout history, and all of these nations that become a Tower of Babel with competing races and religions and everything that could divide a people or a community. We have that here now. We're not a homogenous nation that believes in God anymore, with a common culture and a common language. And so, yes, it is going to fall apart. Now, whether or not it'll be a civil war as we know it, I mean, why would we want Washington? I think, you know, secession is certainly a very real possibility. And I don't know if secession happens, it's if it's necessarily going to be the people like us who you would think would be doing it. I mean, who would stop the left coast from seceding or New York from seceding? You know, nobody. And so we'll see how it goes. But no, I think within our lifetime, Sam, and I think this is a pretty safe prediction, before we get called to our eternal reward, the 50 states as we know it here in America will not exist. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if with your kind indulgence, my friend, if I could have 2 minutes here, I think I could tie all of this up. I have something that I think brings it all into sharp focus with regard to the coverage of January 6th, Stuart Rhodes, the cancelization, Mike Lindell, all of that. Now, what we saw with the media's coverage is what anyone who understands the system would expect: false claims that the original event was a coup, an insurgency, or even a rebellion. It was just a riot. That President Trump intended it and designed it. I think he was surprised at what happened, as most people were, that he should have rushed to the Capitol and had his people stand down. You know, that could have been a good move, but the security was never going to allow it, and that only the right would ever do such a thing. Well, of course, now this is a thing that has to be reminded. You know, people like Stuart Rhodes are getting served up. It's the left that regularly riots, loots, and burns our cities nationwide. So the hypocrisy here stinks to high heavens, of course, with the media. But the most interesting thing to me about the retrospective that we saw in the coverage of January 6th the last couple of weeks was the question that they never asked. And this is the point, Sam, at least not within the establishment or its kept media. And that question is, why did Americans think that they had to physically invade the Capitol in order to be heard, if you want to call it an invasion? Now, the answer to that, to me, is that the January 6th, 2021 events on Capitol Hill was the flip side of the cancel coin. That's what we're talking about. When the establishment decrees that anyone who voted for President Trump or fails to abase himself before cultural Marxism becomes an unperson, those people have only one way to make themselves heard, and that's to take to the streets. To understand the dimensions of this problem, you got to realize that somewhere between a third and a half of all Americans have been canceled in some way, shape, or form, whether it's cancelization from social media or from banks or from all of the above, like us. What that means is that they no longer exist from the establishment standpoint. They may not be allowed to speak. Their interests don't have representation, so they can't be quoted or published. If you have politically incorrect views, speech or writing can be brought to the attention of your employer. The employer must fire you or risk being canceled themselves. And they must be driven from their field, made unemployable. They could be physically attacked. We saw this throughout the Trump campaign of 2016, physically attacked by Antifa. And if you fight back, you're going to be charged with a hate crime. These people are people. We're political subhumans now. And if we or our property are subjected to an attack by the goons of the left, well, then the media will just say that they had it coming, that we had it coming. And that event won't make the paper. So I'll sum it up with this. And its imprudence, the establishment, which is just wholly gone into this cultural Marxism way of thinking, thinks there's going to be no blowback for canceling something upwards of 100 million Americans. Well, on January 6th, there was some blowback. Now, it was very, very mild to even the most garden variety Black Lives Matter riot that we saw just within the several months before January 6th of 2021. But a year later, though, through their rigged retrospective, they smirked, and their kept media continued to write this narrative that the ordinary Americans made themselves heard that day. And I think that's a tremor. I think that's a tremor of things that could be coming. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. Now, I don't think there was a lot of violence. What little violence there was really was the left, as you mentioned with the Ashley Babbitt thing. But an objective observer would realize that there is another America out there beyond the establishment and its rigged media whores, And that America is made up of the worker bees who make the establishment drones' lives comfortable. And they see that the game is being played at their expense. And they know that they have been declared unpersons and that they have no voice and that their interests don't matter. And at a certain point, events are going to propel them into the streets, perhaps even throughout the whole country and not just Capitol Hill. And when that happens, if that happens, and you tell everyone who voted for Trump and millions more who did not vote but reject cultural Marxism, to go to hell. That's the message that we got on January 6th, and the results will be predictable. This has done nothing to ameliorate whatever divide there is. It's only exacerbated it. And, of course, the comments of Joe Biden, I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. If you believe that people need to show some modicum of identification to vote, then you're a white supremacist. I mean, all of this stuff is just going to hasten the day that it all falls apart. It's going to have to fall apart. It really is going to have to fall apart in a way so that there can be some semblance of law and order in a decent nation for us to raise our children in the future. Because I don't think the toothpaste is going back in the can for the United States as a whole.
Ladies and gentlemen, what are we to do is the famous question that Ammon Bundy asked, and I think he's spot on correct on this. I don't want to see us secede from the Union. I don't want to see the states fall apart. I want to see a great nation, as George Washington vision, where we struggle to defend ourselves and angels come and help us and we win the war. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I want. I don't want war, but I'm acknowledging that war is already sadly upon us. When you say, is Stuart Rhodes ready for a civil war? I think he is. I think he's just calling it out. And people can't handle that, ladies and gentlemen. Is the U.S. headed for another civil war? I think the answer is yes, and I think we're already in one. Why? Because of the immorality of the people in general. That's why. But imagine another American civil war, but this time in every single state, writes National Public Radio, NPR. Ammon Bundy says, what are we to do about it? I agree. Now, here's the deal. You got the Democrat Party already divided. You got Joe Biden and crew that are the moderates, supposedly. There's radical as all get out, but according to Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez and others, hey, pretty moderate. Joe, he doesn't go far enough. He's wasted his first year in office, as they would say it. So you get a massive fracture in the Democratic Party. Well, look at the Republican Party. It's just the same. You've got the Mitt Romney whacked out extreme moderate Democrat Republicans, if you will, wing. You've got the Donald Trump wing. And then you've got, I don't know what other wing, right? But here's the deal. DeSantis now says, quote, I will not bend the knee to Trump. Now you've got literally Ron versus Don, ladies and gentlemen. You've got DeSantis says backing Trump for 2024 now is too much to ask. After Trump literally attacked Ron DeSantis for being, quote, dull and having no charisma. And now Ron's saying, Don, I just can't abide here. We're not. Now you got a massive rift in the Republican side of things. You've got the extreme Romney group. I don't know where they all stand, but they're the ones that cross the aisle and betray us all, the Lisa Murkowskis and the whatever. Okay, then you've got the Trump wing, and now you've got a DeSantis wing. So as you can see, the parties are melting down. Now, I've never been for parties in the first place. I don't think we need parties. I just think we need honest candidates. And our founders warned us against parties. My point is you see the fracturing at that level. And then you see the fracturing in every state, red and blue. And then you see the fracturing beyond that, which we'll get into in seconds. But where are we headed with all this, ladies and gentlemen? Is Stuart Rhodes merely a casualty in the war? A political prisoner? We can ask the questions till the cows come home, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll tell you what the solutions are coming up. James Edwards with me. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest
I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Back at the Alive, ladies and gentlemen, some people say it's just the mainstream press, the CIA-driven press trying to create a rift between Ron and Don, and that it's not a real division at all. I don't know. I just see divisions in these parties that have lasted for a long time, these fractures. The Republicans have been for Trump or against Trump. That's been a dividing line for quite some time. Ever since Trump rolled down the escalator back in the day, there's been the Trump Republican supporters and then the old hand non-Trump people, whatever. Republicans have been against Trump for a long time. Now they're starting to kind of gravitate towards Trump when they see the crowds he pulls and everything else. But is it a division driven by the media, or is that division already there? The media is just exploiting it. Time will tell, James.
Well, there's no doubt there's divisions in this country. There's just that's as clear as the plain as the nose on our face, as they say. And it's not a bad thing at this point, I don't think. I mean, I was for the secession my ancestors were going for in 1861. So, we like the fact that there was this great country at a time. I mean, it was really short-lived, though, in my opinion. It was short-lived from the time of its founding for about really less than 100 years. Now, even after the war between the states, yes, through the 1950s, you sort of had this common identity America that you could get behind, but I think some of our undoing was already put into the Washington Leviathan as a result of that original war. But a nation with so many a nation that has so few things in common is just not going to stay. I mean, I don't see that being the case long term. And again, when you serve up people like Stuart Rhodes and you deep look, Mike Lindell, I mean, he supported the president of the United States, and he questioned whether or not there was election fraud. Now, he certainly had the money to question it with a very big megaphone, but that was it. And, you know, he can't have a bank account anymore. I mean, this is the more people look, I can relate to that. In 2006, I lost PayPal. I was no longer to use PayPal because of the things the media said about me. And now I have been deplatformed from literally every credit card payment processor in the country, maybe even the world. If I try to get onboarded, I just get laughed at when I put in my name. It's just, you know, completely shut down. Lost Facebook. This was happening to me 15 years ago. So I've got some experience in this. But I think I had always talked about taboo issues. And so people say, well, you set yourself up for that by tackling these hard issues. But I think now a lot more people are tackling them, and it's become a lot more mainstream than it was. But when you are deplatforming and serving up conspiracy and sedition charges against people like Stuart Rhodes and then the pillow guy, regular churches now are getting deplatformed. I think in a way that's a good thing. I think everybody needs to know that to the system, to the establishment, they don't differentiate between people who talk about sensitive issues and the average garden variety Trump supporter. And the more people realize that they're coming after all of us, the way that they're able to sniper those of us who have been outspoken sort of dissipates, and we are all put together, and there's going to be strength in those numbers. So I guess we'll just we'll see where it goes from here. But I think the more times, the more you can make the system expend its ordinance is going to be good for us in the long term. But of course, you know, I wouldn't want to be in Stuart Rhodes' shoes. It's an uncomfortable position. It's unfair. It's unjust, I think. I mean, I haven't, you know, weighed through all the evidence, but normally it's, as I say, the default position anyone must take is whatever the system tells you, whether it's law enforcement, these alphabet soup government organizations, FBI, CIA, things like that, the media, whatever they're doing is probably the truth that's on the other side of it.
Amen to that reality. And I'm not trying to stir divisions or coax divisions either.
I got to say this one more thing. Whatever happens, it has been thrust upon us. That's the thing. That's the thing, right? People have to remember. What have we done except for advocate for the faith of our fathers and the America that resembled that which our parents and grandparents and ancestors grew up in, an America that was so much more superior to the one that we have now? Whatever happens, whatever comes, it was thrust upon us.
Amen. That's a reality check. And that's why we always advocate for peaceful solutions. We advocate for civility. We advocate for unity. But they won't let that happen. And we're going to lose more and more and more and more of our liberties because I believe of the immorality of the people. The North and the South debate back in the Civil War is a very complicated one. I don't believe it was primarily about slavery, as we're dishonestly taught. I believe it was about states' rights and self-determination and autonomy for the states. The states literally said, we created you government. You don't control us. That battle was fought. And, you know, hey, it's been difficult ever since. I understand some points of the North, which is let's stay together as a country. I understand the point of the South, which is, hey, let's guarantee our state rights. And the country's never been the same since you obliterated them back in 1861. I get that fracture. I get that will haunt us today. But have you read George Washington's vision for the future of America? Because if it's a question for anybody. It's really an open-ended question, James. If you want to answer it, you're more than welcome to. But it's an open question to anybody. Because George Washington believes that as the Savior Jesus Christ comes, we're fractured as a country so bad to where we're in a war and we're about to lose to the enemy. And Christians rally and angels support them and we win the war and conquer evil. And then eventually the Savior Jesus Christ returns. This is a vision of George Washington had. And I believe what they're really coming for, and I've said this for a long time, it isn't about all these divisions. They're coming for the Christians. That's the war that began in heaven when Satan was thrust down. And that's the war that continues today. And their real goal is to come for the Christians, James. That will be the real dividing line over time. Those who will testify of Christ, those versus those who want to force you to deny the Christ. That's where it's coming down to, buddy. That's the real division and the one we cannot escape.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the war against Christians has been going on since the beginning of time. And it has really ratcheted up here in America. And, you know, I have the Christian church is weak here. I mean, it has become apathetic. It has become weak and flabby. We need a more muscular and robust Christian church. We need a Christian church that's out on the front of this, that's out on the front trying to defend its flock. And we don't really have that right now, but it's certainly not buying our churches any cover either. But yes, so there's no doubt about that. But with the regard to separation or secession or anything like that, people always think that that's some sort of a bad thing. But we wish, as you said, Sam, and I guess it's never wrong to repeat this for somebody who may be tuning in for the first time. We don't wish for any distress or unpleasantness, certainly not anything up to and including violence or war. I am the father of three children. Sam more than doubles, almost triples that count. As fathers and as men of God, we don't want to live in a nation or a society where our children are at risk. You know, so we want peaceful restoration. We want solutions. But I think if you look at it from that lens, it's not a bad thing to say, hey, you know, we wish good peace, health, and prosperity to all of humanity and all of mankind, whatever your beliefs, whatever your race. But in order to maintain this peace and cohesiveness, we want to have a government that represents and a society that represents people who have a common fabric. Why would we want to live with people who are at odds with our faith and who hate Christianity and who want to remake society in their image, whether it be transgenderism or whatever latest perversion there is that's being thrust upon us, again, thrust upon us? Why would we want to live in a society like that? And if we can't reform the society as a whole, I don't think there's anything wrong or evil or immoral by saying, okay, guys, we're going to do our own thing here. We're going to peacefully leave. God bless you. The best to you and your liberal utopia. But we're going to have this Christian nation, and we're going to have a nation where people speak one language and they worship a God that has a commonality and common denominators. And we celebrate the same heroes, and we observe the same holidays, and there's nothing wrong with that. And if we can't get that back with America at large, and I think that the ship has sailed on that, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, let's secede. If you want to use that word, you can use whatever word you want and create that society where our faith and our people can flourish.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a difficult deal for all of us, because you know what? Christ would say, if you're not one, you're not mine. You know what? What about intolerance? What about Christianity? What about freedom? What about the principles that underpin freedom? Are we going to endorse them, promote them, jettison them? Okay, tolerance is the last virtue in a depraved society. So do we just tolerate one another? Where do we go, ladies and gentlemen, with this? And I understand what James is saying, and I don't disagree with James's point that, hey, if I can just live peacefully in my sphere and you can go live peacefully in your sphere, maybe it's all the better.
Well, because
are we going to prepare people for Christ to come?
Well, you know, you can still send missionaries out to the nation without having to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, what do we in the South, and what do you in the outskirts of Salt Lake City have in common with people in Manhattan or San Francisco? Very little. Very little.
Only thing we have in common is that my responsibility is to teach them about Jesus Christ, to teach them about the greatest country on the face of the earth, to teach them that there's a better way. That's really all of us as Christians. If we commit to Christ and commit to pick up the cross, if you will, and follow him, we commit to that course, right? Peter didn't have much in common with those who he was called to teach either.
Well, and that's wonderful, but that can still be done, what you're talking about, and it should be done, and it can still be done, just as it can be done with people in Guatemala or people in sub-Saharan Africa or people in Europe. It can be done even if you're not sharing a common border with those people. And I think at this point, to save ourselves, it's a question that needs to be looked at. And I will tell you, the mainstream media is very seriously looking at secession, not that they're advocating for it, but just saying the possibility of it, if you squint and look through the right lens, that is a possibility in the not-so-distant future. And I'll tell you another thing that's happened recently, as we saw with Christian Cinema and Joe Manchin, the sting of the R word is beginning to dissipate. And if you can call two United States senators Bull Connor and George Wallace and they don't cave, that is something you would have never seen 5 years ago. And if people understand that they're not going to be cowed by the R word, then that opens up a whole lot of possibilities that didn't exist previously.
Amen to that. Now let's talk about, and we're going to dig into this even further, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't a, you know, just skim across the surface broadcast. Let's dig further. Let's say that we do have divisions in America. Here's the problem as I see it. You know, they divide us up into red states and blue states, and everybody believes the red states, if you're conservative, are good, and the blue states are great if you're liberal and whatever. But here's the truth, in my opinion. Every state is literally controlled by a liberal, populist city at the core. So take Utah. Salt Lake City controls the whole state. Take Illinois. Chicago controls the whole state. Texas, two or three huge liberal cities, even though it's supposedly a conservative state, hey, controlled by the two or three huge populist cities. How would divisions happen in America? How will it turn out? We'll dig into that next hour. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about secession. If we lose both coasts and we're landlocked in the interior, how are we going to trade? What's going to happen? Let's dig in and talk about it for reals, because most people just want to say, secession, it's going to be great. Got to do it. War. Sadly, we're already there. But I think people are asking for what they know not. War's horrible. Getting landlocked and not being able to trade is horrible. Seceding from the Union sounds great, but how many lives were lost last time? Quick pause. Details coming up. God save the Republic.